Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I'm your host, JD, and with me as always, the one and only Mouse is in the house.
What's going on, world? How you doing, JD?
Not too bad, man. How about you?
Yeah, feels like it's been a while, right?
But it's been a little under 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We weren't able to record last week, so it's a little longer than usual.
Yeah, the house and mouse was sick. Everybody was not feeling well around here.
How's everybody doing now?
Good. Yeah, everybody's better. I would say everybody's, if not 100%, basically back, you know, right there with it.
All right. So
How's everybody at JD's house?
We're doing good, man. My wife's, as we speak, is putting up the Christmas tree.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little battle in the house.
All right. Tell me about it.
My 9-year-old is very much against decorating before Thanksgiving.
No, that's my BFF, for the record. Just put it out there, make sure everybody knows.
I was on the same boat as him.
Okay.
But it's not a fight worth fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to pick your battles.
You got to pick your battles.
For sure.
So I don't mind anymore. But it's the 9-year-old that's still hanging tough. Yeah.
Is this the earliest Christmas decorations have gone up in your house?
I'm pretty sure, yes. Yeah, it is.
So I don't know what's in the air. Mold or pollen or something in the water, but this is the earliest we've ever put our Christmas decorations up as well.
All right, how are you feeling about that?
I picked my battles, right? I didn't. I got to do it, whether it's this week, last week, or after Thanksgiving. But my wife's always been a firm believer in not until after Thanksgiving. She'd comment on people doing it early. And maybe about a week ago, she was like, 2 weeks ago, she started mentioning it. And I said, shoot, if you want to do it, do it. Who cares? Who cares what other people think or say? And then, sure enough, this weekend, we put up all our inside Christmas stuff. Christmas trees up, decorated.
Dang, so the house of mouse is already full-blown Christmas, huh?
Yeah, inside it's festive. You go outside, I don't have the outside stuff done yet. But inside, there's definitely Christmas all over.
Okay.
Yeah, so something's going on.
Do you think, what station is it, Q1019?
Yeah, that, yep.
They started, what, last week, playing Christmas music?
Yeah, they did, I think, a week and a half ago. Maybe 2 weeks ago now or something.
Do you think that's kind of like San Antonio's way of kicking off Christmas?
Yeah, it definitely got my wife in the mood. I know. Once they start playing Christmas music and Hallmark or Life, whatever those channels start playing those Christmas movies, they start getting the itch.
So I don't know if it's nationwide. I know we have listeners all over, but it's definitely in the San Antonio area because the Riverwalk already put on their Christmas lights too.
I saw that.
And they're usually on, they usually have a parade on Black Friday. So everyone's jumping the gun. I guess we've all decided to pick our battles.
Yeah.
And
for Thanksgiving.
I know, man. Like, Thanksgiving didn't have a shot.
I know, all these equal, you know, everybody wants equal rights and Me Too, all these movements. What about Thanksgiving? Someone needs to stand up for Thanksgiving.
You're right. Who needs to do it? Jerry Jones, maybe, because the Cowboys?
Uncle Jerry can do it. If anybody can, it can be him.
The Macy's needs to do it. We're all going to skip their Thanksgiving parade.
Yeah,
you're right. All right, so we've been gone a few weeks, about a week and a half. Since then, the Spurs went 2-3, which is kind of who they are right now, right?
Yeah.
They beat the Magic, and they beat the Kings, and they lost to Dallas, L.A., and Oklahoma City. As we record this, we're about an hour until tip-off against the Clippers. So when everybody listens to this, they'll know what happened in that game, but we won't as of right now. Just some numbers to throw at you. Out of the 5 games since we've recorded, Murray has led in scoring twice, Keldon twice. Murray has led in rebounds twice. Keldon twice. And assist, Murray has led in three of the five games. Thad Young, the other two. So the I think two of the biggest developments in the last week or week and a half is Keldon Johnson starting to turn it on. He had a slow start to the season, but as you just heard from, you know, just straight stats, he's picking up the pace.
Mm-hmm. And there's big moves from him changing representation this week.
He moved to Clutch Sports, which same representative as DeJounte Murray and Lonnie Walker. So the Spurs will need to keep a good relationship with Clutch. I know the Sixers have a horrible relationship with them, so you don't want to get on their bad side. But they have a strong relationship with LeBron. Is that right?
I think so, yep.
Which is good because LeBron respects the hell out of Coach Pop.
Yeah.
I know Spurs fans look to this as doom and gloom, which I don't understand why there's two other Spurs. But it might be a good thing because, again, LeBron and Pop are extremely close. So it might actually be beneficial.
Yeah.
But, I'm looking at the stats for the year. Points, rebounds, assists, and steals. DeJounte Murray leads the team in all of those categories.
Yeah, man.
So he's averaging 18 points a game, 7.8 rebounds, 8 assists, which is really
good. Almost a triple-double.
He's almost averaging a triple-double and 2 steals a game. He's going to push for an all-star spot. I can already see him, whenever the voting starts, if it's January or December, Spurs and Salsa will join. I'm sure it'll be a big crowd of Spurs fans pushing for the all-star votes.
Yeah.
I've always been a Murray guy. To see him do what he's doing now is awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
But back to Keldon, you know, he's led the team in scoring 2 of the last 5 games, led the team in rebounds 2 of the last 5 games. He's starting to pick up his end of the bargain. He's starting to become what I think Spurs fans thought he would be what DeJounte is right now. So I'm not going to say Keldon's back, but I think that's a good trend, right?
Yeah.
And it's a long season. There's still like 68 games left or so. But it's good to see him picking up the pace. His 3-point shooting looked a lot better, especially against the Lakers. He's not going to be as hot as he was against the Lakers in 3-point shooting. But if he can be semi-consistent there, that's going to help him tremendously because we know he can attack the rim. There's a reason he's called Big Body or Mustang. But if that 3-point ball can at least be semi-consistent, he's going to give some teams problems, and he's going to help the Spurs out a lot.
Yeah, and the other name you mentioned was Thaddeus Young.
He looks really good.
Yeah, and in his role. If you remember, he wasn't getting much playing time when.
Not at all. Yeah.
With what's his name? Yeah. Not out on COVID. Yeah, with Porto not out with COVID, but and I think Porto's back tonight, isn't he?
They're iffy on that.
Is it okay? So if he's not back tonight, he's back soon. So what does Pop do with that rotation?
I think Young's earned his way into the rotation.
Yeah.
If anything, Drew Eubanks loses his minutes, and I don't think anybody that cheers for the Spurs will be upset about that.
Yeah.
I like Eubanks' hustle. I think he plays hard, but he's just not.
He's been struggling here recently, it seems like.
I think it's caught up to him. Like, you know, there's some players that they don't physically have the tools, but they hustle hard and they can eke out some decent years. Like a DeJounte Blair. Remember DeJounte Blair?
Yeah. He was a little. DeJuan Blair? Yeah.
DeJuan Blair, I'm sorry. Yeah. DeJuan Blair. He was a little undersized and he didn't have a good jumper, but he hustled hard.
I think that guy didn't have any ACLs or MCLs.
That's right. Yeah. it just couldn't last. And I think with Eubanks, the experiment's getting towards the end.
Yeah.
So I would say Thaddeus. I mean, truth be told, I mean, you could even start Thaddeus Young.
Yeah.
In certain situations. But yeah, I think that's who's going to lose their minutes when it comes down to it. And that's okay. That's really okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to Spernandez. He's going to be at the game tonight in LA.
I chatted him up today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
He posted and I said, we all know, or most people probably know about the drama with his son.
And Kawhi Leonard, that's right.
And Kawhi Leonard. So I hit him up and I said, I want to hear your son tell Kawhi to F Kawhi. And he told me Twitter's asking for it too.
Yeah. But yeah, I think when Yaka comes back, I still believe that this team is going to round out into a solid team. Thaddeus Young's playing well. Jakob was one of the better players on the team pre-COVID. But one thing I was going to ask you, we're all in agreement that DeJounte Murray is the best player on this team. Even if you don't agree, the numbers don't lie.
Yep.
Is Devin Vassell the second best player on the team?
Oh, man, that's tough. That's tough because it's hard to answer that question. But, like, if I think about it, like, I'm a GM and I could start my team with Keldon or Vassell.
Ooh.
I feel like there's so much hype around Keldon because of the Olympics, and he can be dominant. Like, his body, you know, obviously big body, right? We talked about that. I mean, he said he can be dominant on the court. But something about Vassell, man, I like Vassell a lot. So that's a tough question, but if you're putting a gun to my head, I'm probably picking Vassell to start my franchise over Keldon.
I think Vassell's more consistent.
Yeah.
He's not going to have a bad game. Now, one thing I think most Spurs fans, especially on Twitter, and I agree completely, I probably said it last episode or maybe episode before, Vassell needs to be starting over Derek White.
Yeah.
Derek White has regressed, and I don't think Derek White's going to stay where he's at as far as the regression. But even if Derek White gets back to his ways, I think he's already plateaued. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Whereas Vassell's is getting better. You know, Vassell's playing 4 less minutes a game than Derek White, but he averages 2 more points a game than Derek White. He averages a rebound more than Derek White. Derek White does kill him in assists. And numbers are just numbers. I mean, they're numbers. I think, but Vassell's a better defender. Vassell's a better 3-point shooter. I just think Vassell needs to be starting. And I know a lot of people, especially on Spurs Twitter, they're yelling at Pop to make that switch. I would say have a little patience. I don't think Pop wants to kill Derek White's confidence. But one thing I will criticize Pop on, Vassell needs to be starting.
Yeah.
And I think once Jakob is back, once Vassell's starting, I think this team's going to round out to a really good team. Now, that might be a detriment to some people. Because I know there's a lot of Spurs fans that are already on the team tank bandwagon. You know, you'll see, you know, college basketball just started last week. I'm seeing a lot of Spurs fans keeping an eye on college basketball and who the top players are that are going to be in the upcoming draft. What are your thoughts as of today? I know your thoughts on tanking, you're anti-tank.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on the Spurs right now and the concept of tanking?
Yeah, I think that's the main reason you want to give all these young guys as much minutes as possible, right? We know who Derek White is. Give everything to these young dudes because we need to see what we have and who they are. And we need to see them go up against starters. We need to see them get the minutes and see how they fit into the rotation. And with that comes probably a really bad season that we've been saying is, or I've been saying at least for sure, is is what the season's about. And we get a very high, hopefully, I mean, obviously a lottery pick, but a very high lottery pick. And we make a splash, hopefully, and get, you know, maybe even a top three pick next year. So I'm all for it. That's why I don't like Primo going to Austin, even though he was balling yesterday or the day before. I want him in San Antonio. I want him getting those minutes. Because what are we playing for? We can't look at this team and think, hey, we're going to make a run. We're just not.
So are you team tank?
I feel it hurts my stomach to say I'm team tank. I'm not team tank. I want us to give all the minutes to the young guys, see what we have, and in hopes of either developing them or at least analyzing them. And with that comes a high draft pick.
Okay.
Because I said it before, we're not attracting a bunch of big name free agents. So
yeah,
we're going to have to draft really well in order to turn this franchise around.
Okay. So you want to see what the young guys got, and you kind of want to – you're leaning tank.
Yeah, I'm okay with Pop trying crazy rotations. I'm okay with all the young guys getting majority of the minutes, and that's just bombing. Like, I'm completely okay with that.
So you talked about Primo. Don't you need to keep him in Austin to see what the rest of the roster looks like? If not, whose minutes you want to give up? Because I'm not against it, but I do ask the question, whose minutes will you give them? So let me just give you a rundown of the wing players. Keldon plays 30 minutes a game. Vassell, 26. Lonnie, 23. Derek, 30. Bryn Forbes, almost 12. I'm guessing that's where we're all going to go.
Yeah, I kind of had high hopes for Bryn, and he hasn't been kind of living up to him this year.
Yeah,
so take those minutes right off the bat. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be every game, right? Like, give him a high minute game, and then sit him a little bit. You know, give him a couple of minutes the next game. Like, I just want to see all these guys out there getting minutes.
Okay, when Bryn Forbes was signed, that was my main concern was, he's going to take minutes from either Primo or Vassell. You know, all the wing players I just mentioned. The Forbes experiment. That was my only big complaint about this offseason. Now, let's say Forbes gives up 5 or 6 of his minutes. And maybe you give Vassell 2 or 3 of them, whatever. Would you rather Primo be playing 5 to 8 minutes on the Spurs, or 25 to 30 minutes in Austin?
Give him his 25 to 30 for a month in Austin, and then I need to see him in the NBA.
Okay.
I don't want to see him in the G League.
And I know listeners are probably like, we're still talking about this. Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing
debate, discussion. Yeah, for sure.
All right, so the Spurs got the Clippers tonight. And then we don't predict games anymore just because, like Mouse kind of said, our focus right now is development. I'm thinking it's still a little early to tank. Or just even be having the conversation because there's still a slew of games. Now, I understand that if you want to tank, you got to commit to it early.
Yeah.
I'll go natural tank. Like Mouse said, play the young guys a gazillion minutes and let's see where we land. But they got LA. They're at Clippers, at Minnesota, then Phoenix, Atlanta, Boston, Washington. So it'll be a tough little run. But we'll see. What I'm looking for is Keldon to continue to rise and a healthy Jakob. Those are my two. Those are my two goals for the next week.
Yeah. What did you think about I know we've seen the pictures of the uniforms, but seeing them kind of in action.
I liked them. I really like them. I really do.
They're dope. I love them. I love the way they look.
Me too. I'm a big fan of those Fiesta jerseys.
What about any thoughts on how DeMar's doing up in Chicago?
I don't care.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
I know on my Twitter feed, it was a lot of DeRozan. Like, I know exactly how he's doing because Spurs fans seem a little – it's like that's a big topic.
Yeah.
He's averaging 27 points a game. I think he was averaging like 21 or 22 there. I mean, here. His numbers aren't too far off from last year. I just think he's on a contender, so he's getting more burn. Now, his points did go up.
Yeah, for sure.
But I guess I'm surprised that he's taking more shots on a team like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of distributing more often. And maybe that was Pop's way of slowly bringing on the young Spurs. So he's playing 2 more minutes a game there than he did here. The only other difference, his 3-point shot has gone up tremendously. He was shooting 25% in San Antonio. It's gone up to 37. So there's the difference. His 3-point shot has gone up. He averaged 21 here, about 27 there. There's your difference, though, is the 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to blame the Spurs for him not shooting more or better here. He played, again, a minute and a half less, so good for him. Yeah, I honestly don't care.
Okay. Yeah, man. I think for me, at least, it kind of – not that it hurts, but it's like, man, I want him to do good, but I hate to see him go to another team, and I feel like he's doing just so much better than he was here. And then naturally I start asking questions like, why is that? Is it a culture thing? Is it, he just didn't feel comfortable. What was it? But then for me, at least, I start thinking about these play-in tournaments and how he went completely missing in action with us. And he was just like nowhere to be found and couldn't make a bucket. So I end up being okay with it. But it does definitely raise some questions for me. I'm like, why is the output seem better there in Chicago?
He's shooting better at the 3-point line.
Yeah.
His percentage jumped up 12%. There's your answer in a nutshell. But moving on, the Cowboys. Now, before we talk about this week's victory.
Oh, yeah, we missed a week.
We missed a week. And one of our loyal listeners, Harry, is a big Broncos fan.
So I thought about him.
And I didn't want him to think that we were just skipping a week just to avoid him. So I want to give a shout-out to Harry and the Broncos. They beat the Cowboys' ass. I didn't forget you, Harry. Matter of fact, not only did I not forget you, I want to give him props. He tagged us on Twitter before the game saying the Broncos would win.
Wow.
And I've also been watching San Antonio FC. They're in the Western Conference Finals, and I'm excited. I'm hooked. I know a few of our listeners have wanted us to go out to a game over the years. I need to go. I really do. But I am following on ESPN Plus. Thank God for ESPN Plus. I get to watch the games. I've watched the last 2 playoff games. I'm hooked, man. I'm going to have to pick you up and go to a game next year.
Yeah. It ain't too far from me, so let me.
That's what I say. I'll pick you up because you live like real close to it. But yeah, shout out to Harry Rubin, another loyal listener, big San Antonio FC guy. I am watching. I am rooting for them. I really hope they win this week and then win the championship. That'd be great for the city. But the Cowboys, so they lay an egg against Denver. It happens, right? This is the NFL. Everyone's laid an egg. But I want to get your thoughts, Mouse, because you were there.
Yeah, man. It was not a fun game to be at. And, you know, I try to go – obviously COVID the last 2 years has been a little bit weird for us, but I try to go to at least one game a season. So I've been to a decent amount of Cowboy games. And, you know, the other teams usually travel well, just generally speaking, right? It's you have a lot of the other fans. But it seemed like this year watching the games, the crowd has been majority Cowboys fans. Like, it's been rocking. Obviously, that comes with winning, right? But the stadium, watching it from home, has seemed to be rocking. But I get there and man, I don't know if it was like 50-50, but it was maybe 40-60. There were so many Bronco fans there to begin with. And that game, I know we've been talking about it, but the ticket prices were so much higher for that game. I don't know if that's why. There are so many Broncos fans going to it. And I think Denver has a big, military, base and installations up there. And I think maybe they came to Dallas to see it, you know, and there was kind of some Veterans Day stuff going on.
Okay. But,
Jesus, man, there were so many Bronco fans. Like in my section, there were definitely more Broncos fans than there were Cowboys fans. And so, you know, going, we come out and I think we went for it on fourth two times back to back early in that game. And it kind of got away from us, but I think we were still down maybe like 13-0 or something, and we got that block punt, if you remember, and that was the strangest stuff I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, because it still went across.
Yeah.
The line of scrimmage, and then Nashawn Wright touched it.
Yep. And so since it was after the line of scrimmage, and they recovered it, they get the ball back, which was weird. I was excited. I was like, you know, yelling at these guys, the Broncos fans that were around me, and I thought that was when the tables were going to turn. And then after a couple minutes, you know, I'm like, wait, what? How do they still have the ball? And so that's one of the things it's great going to the game and being there in the environment and, you know, just being there with everybody. But you miss it. I feel like I miss out on that. Like I feel like I'm more tuned into the game and know what's going on when I'm at home in front of my TV watching it. Because you get the replays and all of that. So, man, it was a poor game to be at, to be honest with you.
All right. And we'll get your food stops in the end of our show.
Okay.
But it's funny you say that because I think I get more out of being at a game. Only because I can see the whole field. So there's things I can see that they don't show on TV. But I think it depends on your atmosphere.
Yeah.
So you're high-fiving and grabbing beers. You might miss a few things. Or at home, if that's how you are at home with a big party, you're still going to miss a few things. But I do know that when I'm at a game and I'm really dialed in, I start noticing little things about the defense and who's doing what and formations. But it's interesting you said that.
Yeah. And they just came out and just laid a goose egg, like you said. They no effort. Dak was off. CD had drops. Amari had drops. I mean, it was probably the worst game. Definitely the worst game I've been to, but you know, one of the worst games for the franchise here in recent history.
So then they come back. Now that game put doubt in some people's minds, right?
Yeah.
Oh, is it the same old Cowboys? Are they just, you know, was it a fluke streak? Are they going to, you know, tail off here and barely win the East? So then they come out against Atlanta and they beat the crap out of them. Like, they were upset and they turned a corner and they laid the wood. Like, offensively, they did whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were getting whatever they wanted to do. And defensively, surprisingly, was almost a shutout.
Yeah.
All three starting corners get a pick. You know, we could talk about Diggs all day, which, you know, we probably have all year. He gets another pick, but Jordan Lewis gets a pick. Anthony Brown
pick, just fighting through and staying with the ball. And
yes. Grabbing it. Yes. Shout out to him. Micah Parsons continues to be the greatest football player in the world. How are you feeling? So I wanted to ask you about Parsons. Because Kyle Pitts was on the other side.
Yeah.
And I know you were trying to talk me into Pitts. He gets drafted way before he could even come to us. I was excited. I did not want a tight end on this team.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they did bring that up in the telecast. I think we went ahead and we won that swap. Nothing against Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kyle Pitts might be in the next 3 years, he might be the best tight end in football. Maybe. But Micah Parsons, man, dude's a force of nature.
Yeah,
I don't know what his defense would be without him.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely, rookie of the year contentions. I mean, the guy is he's a stud and he's all over the field. And as far as a dominant force this year, he's definitely outworking and outplaying everybody else or Pitts in general and specifically.
Now, he'll definitely be defensive rookie of the year. I would bet
Chase.
I'd bet the house on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like a fan, a homer. I don't know. He might be the best defensive player in the league. Maybe. If not this year, then he's going to be. But that's how much he impresses me on the field. And the crazy thing is, this team's missing Tyron Smith, Randy Gregory, Tank Lawrence, and they're still not missing a beat.
Yeah.
That goes back to the depth of this team. Not just Parsons, but this whole team. This team, look, I'm not going to go into detail on Terrence Steele. I think we did that a few weeks ago, but he's holding his own at left tackle, and this team's deep enough to withstand so many injuries. It's crazy to think that when we roll into December, we're going to get two defensive ends.
Yeah.
Randy Gregory.
Stars
and,
back.
And DeMarcus Lawrence. Yeah. I cannot wait to see those two on the field together and with Parsons blitzing from time to time, roaming the middle of the field from time to time. It's going to be magical, man.
My only concern is, can we do some calf stretches like in pregame or warm ups? It seems like when our guys are going down, they're going down with some calf injuries.
You think our strength and conditioning coach is missing out there?
He's neglecting the calf, I think. I'm not sure. I think Randy Gregory's out with it. We saw Dak a couple weeks ago. I mean, I'm not sure. It seems like the calf bug is biting.
If anyone's listening is going to the game, well, this week they're playing at Arrowhead, and then next week Thanksgiving against the Raiders. If anyone goes to any of those games, can you just have a sign? Stretch your calves.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, you'll for sure get a shout out.
So, for the first time in a long time, the Cowboys are underdogs. I think they're a 2-point underdog against the Chiefs.
I was going to ask you. I haven't seen the spread, but I figure going into Arrowhead, they probably have to be.
So, we got two really big games. I don't know if we'll be recording before Thanksgiving. So, what are your thoughts? We got Chiefs and Raiders, both really good teams.
Yeah.
They both have had their struggles, but they're both really good teams. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I love us to come out of that 2-0, right? No losses. I wouldn't be too down if we go into Kansas City and, it's a shootout and Patty Mahomes beats us, whoever has the ball last and they win. So I'm not going to be too high or too low on that game, but I do expect us to beat the Raiders.
Okay. And I've always felt like the Thanksgiving game sets a tone for the last half of the year, for how the season's going to end. It just feels like if we get blown out, then all hope is lost. We're not going to be anything special. Yeah. But if we can dominate that game, we can roll into something. We can roll into something, a good run into the playoffs. Now, I agree with you 100%. If it's a shootout and Mahomes just does his deal at Arrowhead, I won't be mad at it. But I do want him. I mean, I feel like it'd be a good statement game for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But again, I think Thanksgiving is the one that they need to really buckle down and
yeah,
make it a must-win situation.
what I don't want is for us to come out hot against Kansas City, get that W, and then come back home and shit the bed on Thanksgiving.
Like, exactly. That'd be the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
You're right. Can't do that. All right. I'm hoping for 2-0. I'll be okay with 1-1.
Yeah.
But especially because it's AFC teams, you know, those games don't mean as much. But the race for the top seed in the NFC is so tight.
Yeah.
It's almost like you don't want to drop anything.
I hate to look too far down the schedule, but that Week 17 game against Arizona.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
And then you start – it's huge, but then there has to be some sort of gameplay or some thought process. Like, we could possibly see Arizona in the playoffs. Like, do we want to show all of our cards? You know, so I think there's going to be a lot of details in that game that I'm interested to see.
That's true. But you just got to believe you're the better team, and you got to just impose your will on them. All right, so we got a big two games for the Cowboys. We also have, I mean, here in San Antonio, I think it's Roadrunner Mania, roaming the streets.
I know.
So since we've last spoke, they beat UTEP in a huge victory, and then they come out a little flat. They almost had their Denver Bronco game against Southern Miss last week. But they they turn it on late, and they hold on to win. As of right now, they are number 22 in the college football playoff rankings. I think they're 15 or 14 in the Associated Press. So things are looking up UTSA. They have maybe their biggest game ever this coming Saturday. They're playing University of Alabama, Birmingham. UAB they only have one conference loss. So basically the winner of this game wins the Western Division of the Conference USA. So what this means to UTSA is if they win on Saturday, they will be division champs for the first time in program history, and they will clinch a spot in the Conference USA championship. Also,
where's that game? Do you know?
It's at the Dome.
Oh.
So San Antonio came out. There was over 30,000 people against Southern Miss, which was cool to see, right? It's cool to see the city turn up for this team. This week's even bigger. I'm pretty sure not only will they clinch the division and a spot in the Conference USA Championship game, but they'll also clinch hosting the Conference USA Championship game.
Oh, wow.
So this is senior day for UTSA. They'll honor the seniors like every college does at the last home game. This is your maybe last chance to see them in the Dome.
See them win the division.
See them clinch a Conference USA Championship title. Playoffs are a championship game. And they could help them clinch the home field for that game. Like, this game is huge for UTSA. So let's get out there. I'll be there. I'll be in section 130, I believe.
Are you wearing your still undefeated UTSA shirt?
No. So for those that don't know, my freshman year, I worked at the UTSA bookstore. I was a student. And back then, they didn't have a football team. So what Mouse is referring to, and any old school UTSA fan remembers this shirt. It said UTSA, it had a football, and it said still undefeated, right? It was a joke. Because they never lost a game because they didn't even have a program. Now, two things. One, my mom says she did find that shirt in my old closet.
It's probably crusty. You got stains on it.
It smells like old Bud Ice.
It was under a mattress.
But two, I will not be wearing that because I do not want to jinx them. Imagine showing up to the biggest game. What I will do is when they win out, I'll definitely rock it all off season. Or if it doesn't fit, which I'm sure it doesn't,
Well, I may see your belly button in it.
I look like Zeke. Yeah. I'll have my wife make me one. A new one. But I'm not gonna jinx them. That just feels like a jinx.
Yeah, for sure.
But it is cool that I have it. It is cool that they're undefeated. It's a historic season. I can't wait to go. So yeah, San Antonio, get out there. I know this is definitely the biggest game. We've been saying that a lot this year, right? Yeah. Oh, beating Illinois, biggest game ever. Beating Memphis, biggest victory ever. UTEP, biggest game ever. This is definitely the next one. It's for a division championship, host conference championship game. I mean, everything's on the line on this game. So for you to know your opponent, UAB is 7-3. They lost to a team called Georgia.
Yeah, might have heard of that.
So, you know, not a bad loss. They lost to Liberty. And I know Liberty's a solid program, but that's a weird one. And they've lost to Rice. So UTSA should handle business. But again,
the thing to watch out for is these teams now, UAB, they're going to play up to UTSA, right? They're going to
get fired up.
They want to crush the dream.
It's very – for one, they can still win a conference championship. So they have plenty to play for. Because conference championships mean it's a big deal in college sports. So they still have that to play for, but yes, they know they're playing the number 22 team in the country or number, you know, was it 15 team in the country. They understand that completely. They will bring their best.
Yeah.
Another thing is UAB is going with UTSA to the American Athletic Conference. So they would love to beat UTSA and build a rivalry rolling into the new conference. Because how much would we hate them if they ruin our perfect season? So
get
it done. Like Jeff Traylor says, don't eat the cheese. Biggest game of the program history. Get out to the Alamo Dome. There's tons of tailgating. The bars around there are awesome. I mean, everything. It's not an expensive ticket. And let's be honest, it's the best ticket in town for sports or anywhere close to South Texas, Central Texas. So make it happen. I'll be there. Speaking of college football, not so good news for the two big teams.
Don't do it.
We'll start with the one that's not having the one that still feels pretty good about themselves. I'll say Texas A&M. I had high hope. I mean, they were starting to get momentum, right? We said, hey, beating Alabama could be a momentum shifter. They beat Alabama. They beat Auburn. It looked like they were turning the corner, so they were even talking maybe sneaking into the SEC championship game. And then they go and get beat down by Ole Miss.
Yeah.
What stinks for the Aggies is not all momentum is lost, right? They still look, you know, they still having a solid year. But what sucks is they started off in the top, what, 5 or 6 preseason?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. If you go back a little bit farther, you know, start the season, they had really high hopes.
It just feels like a typical Aggie season, right?
Yeah.
Like this, it just, unfortunately, it feels like this is as good as it gets for A&M. You know, what was the knock on them? Oh, they're always like 9-3, 8-4 type of team. Now they have Prairie View A&M, so they'll be able to bounce back.
Yeah.
Not sure why they're playing them in November, but okay. And then they play at LSU, which they should win because LSU's garbage this year. Now, I don't want to jinx them because losing that game would take all the air out of the program. But even, you know, they're going to win out. So they're going to be 9-3. They're going to go to the Outback Bowl or something. It just feels like they lost an opportunity this year to be real special, you know? And that kind of stinks. Now they have an amazing recruiting class coming in. So they still have plenty of momentum and they can still close out. And I'll get to that when we talk Texas here in a minute, but they still have a lot of momentum within the program. This season just feels like, oh, that's just what A&M does. They lose 3 or 4 games, even on their best years.
Do you think they have a possibility or a chance to lose Jimbo to LSU? I know I've been kind of thrown around there.
And here's why. And, you know, Jimbo Fisher runs kind of an old school 3 yards in the cloud of dust offense. It works for them because they build great offensive lines. They build great defenses. And they score enough to win. They have a great running back. LSU has always played football like that with Les Miles. Even when they had these amazing athletes on offense, like an Odell Beckham or you know, Joe Burrow. Well, before Joe Burrow. But for one season, they had an offensive, I think he was called the pass game coordinator, Joe Brady. Mm. And Joe Brady ran a spread offense, and that's when they went undefeated and had one of the greatest seasons in college football history. I think LSU fans and the people that call the shots there, that's what they want again. They're going to be so in love with a spread offense that I don't think they're going to be willing to pay what it takes to get Jimbo Fisher. I don't think they want that old school LSU offense. I think they're going to go after an offensive guru.
Yeah.
Like what Lane Kiffin's doing at Ole Miss. Kendall Briles, Art Briles' kid, he's the offensive coordinator at Arkansas. And they're being creative. Mike Leach at Ole Miss. That the SEC West is it's now a spread offense of division. And LSU wants another taste at that. They want another taste of that Joe Burrow season. Explosion. Yeah. So I think that's why. Plus, A&M pays him a lot. So if you really want Jimbo Fisher, you have to pay a lot of money. And again, I think LSU just wants to get they want to go grab an offensive coach, a real spread offense type of coach. Now, they might go try to steal Mike Leach, which would be crazy, but I could see that as a possibility. I know Mel Tucker at Michigan State is on their radar. And we'll see. The LSU job is going to be interesting because it's a big job. And again, I think they're in the mood for an offensive coach, like a spread offensive coach. I could see them trying to take Lincoln Riley away from OU. Things like that. And maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe they do make a run at Fisher, but I don't think they want Fisher. I think they want to go more modern offense.
Yeah, I think for the record, too, I think Fisher has said he's not interested, but, you know,
everybody said it, yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
And then there's Texas. Man, what a dumpster fire of a season. Like, things couldn't be any worse for the University of Texas. Like, it has been a disaster. They've now lost, what, 5 straight? Yes, 5 straight games. They're in danger of not even making a bowl game. They have to win their last 2 games to do so. Steve Sarkisian couldn't have started any worse. Now, can he turn it around against West Virginia and Kansas State? I don't know. But I think they need to fight for a bowl game because they need the extra. You get like 2 or 3 extra weeks of practice if you make a bowl game. This team desperately needs that to build for the future. So if you're a Longhorn fan, you still want them to qualify for a bowl. There's been a lot of discussion on what happened and why are they so bad. I think it's a perfect storm of a lot of things. One, it's a new coaching staff, and there's always going to be growing pains. Two, from what Steve Sarkisian said, their last 4 recruiting classes have been really good. 2 of them in the top 5, but over 50% of the kids that were recruited the last 4 years are no longer with the program.
Wow.
There's just been so much attrition. Some of that is them going pro. For instance, Caden Stearns left early, and Cowboy fans, you might remember him. He's the safety that got the interception against the Cowboys, against the Broncos.
Yeah.
A lot of them transferred for some reason. A lot of them went to USC. I think USC's got 3 or 4 former Longhorns right now on their team. Or transferred other places, or they, you know, a couple of them just busted out, or injuries, and then there's natural attrition. So the roster is not nearly as good as it would have been on as it looks like on paper. But I also think this, prior to the Kansas game, I heard a stat. The Longhorns had led, they were winning in over 70% of their snaps. So 70% of the time they took a snap, they were winning the game. That's 11th in the country. And yet they always lost those close games. So that's bad luck. And that's just not knowing how to close, kind of like the Spurs right now. And then I just think, you know, bad play. They just, the coaching staff is underachieved. It's just been a big combination of all that.
Yeah, that's what to me makes it hard to blame, you know, the players not being there and things like that. Is they've led in a lot of these games, or you know, they've lost big leads in the second half.
Again, prior to the Kansas game, they were 11th in the country in leading, in the amount of time leading, and that didn't equate to 11th in the country.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a breakdown in coaching in the second half for sure. Now, a lot of coaches, a lot of great coaches start off slow. I think famously Nick Saban was like 6-6 his first year at Alabama, and they lost to some team called Louisiana Monroe. Oh. Here's, if you're a Texas fan, here's what I would look towards. Or if you're an A&M fan. There's a few kids from the state of Texas that are 5-star recruits. That have still not picked a team here in the state of Texas. I'm pulling it up. That's why I'm kind of stalling. If Sarkisian can still land a few of those. So right now the Longhorns have the number 7 recruiting class in the country. So they're not hurting at that point, at that area. But if you're going to take that step where Texas wants to be, you go get some 5-stars. So per 24/7 Sports, there are 9 5-stars in the state of Texas this year. Two of them are quarterbacks. One of them is going to A&M. One of them is going to Clemson. But here's the kicker. The number one player in Texas is Evan Stewart. He's a receiver. He's supposed to be the best wide receiver the state of Texas has ever produced. He hasn't decided between Texas or Texas A&M. Harold Perkins, 5-star linebacker. Devin Campbell, 5-star inside guard, offensive guard. Denver Harris, 5-star corner. Kelvin Banks, 5-star offensive tackle. If Steve Sarkisian can land 2 or 3 of those top 5 players in Texas, I think he's still in really good shape, right? If he can convince the kids, hey, I need my players. You'll start right away. You know, I need to get my guys in.
Yeah.
I would look to those 5 guys. Those 5 top 5 players in Texas. If he lands 2 or 3 of them, he's in great shape as a coach. There's still a future. Because if he lands a few 5-stars, his recruiting class will probably end up in the top 5. Having a bad year like this and still have a top 5 class, that means the recruits still believe in his message and he can get it done. If he doesn't land any and they've already all given up on him, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. And we might be watching a slow death.
You think there's any way they let him go after the 1 year first?
No. Season? And you can't do that. Now you got to give the coaches, I would say 3 years.
Yeah.
And you got to give these players some continuity, some familiarity. Give them the same playbook for, you know, at least 2 straight years. You know what I mean? I think that's another big thing about Texas. So 2 years ago, Tom Herman cleaned his staff out. And then Tom Herman had a new staff, and then Tom Herman was fired. So the last 3 years, which means most of the kids on this team, this is their third coaching staff in 3 years. So if you're an offensive player, it's your third playbook, different play, you know, different system in 3 years. If you're a defensive player, same thing. Give these kids continuity. Give them familiarity. Let's see what they can do with another year under their belt. But those five kids that I just named, all those five stars, that's going to tell us if Texas and if Sarkisian, if it'll tell us if he's going to be successful, in my opinion. Now, for A&M, if they can go out and go grab three or four of those kids on top of the class they already have, that might be the class that takes them to the next level. I just talked about them, you know, always losing three or four games a year. That would end up, I think that would be the class that puts them over the top, right? The Vince Young class for Texas. So football in the state of Texas, the future, I think, is going to be decided with a bunch of 18-year-old kids the next 2 months, which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
But we'll see. And then, so we, this here in this podcast, I will keep you posted on all those kids. I love recruiting. I love when kids that play in the state of Texas stay in Texas.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for all five of them to pick one of the two big schools. But we'll see. And I'll, again, I'll keep you updated on signing day. But that's all I got. College football's in such a weird spot here in Texas, right?
Yeah.
At least UTSA has given us hope. But besides football, besides the Spurs, Mouse, the world wants to know, what are you watching?
I am watching my absolute favorite show on TV.
Everybody's favorite show. Do it, Mouse. Do it.
Yeah, one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. So Yellowstone came back since we last recorded.
Sure did.
And, man, I was, you know, we were wondering, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but, you know, last season, we feel like we waited a really long time. And last season ended with huge cliffhangers, and I, you know, didn't know how it was going to shake out. But we've seen now the first, I guess the first episode was kind of two episodes, so maybe we saw one, two, and then three was this past Sunday.
Yes.
And that's on Paramount channel. And, man, how freaking good is Yellowstone?
Oh, it's ridiculously good.
I love it, man. I don't want it to end. When it ends, it's something we look forward to every Sunday night now.
Now, so for those that haven't watched it, you can watch the first three seasons on the Peacock Network. It's extremely confusing because it's on Paramount Network. So it's on a regular TV network with cable. Not Paramount Plus, which is the streaming service you pay for. And if you want to watch the old seasons, you don't watch it on Paramount Plus. You watch it on Peacock.
Which you have to pay for, right?
Yeah, but you have to pay for Paramount Plus also. But what I'm saying is the new episodes, Paramount TV, regular cable. The old seasons to catch up, Peacock Network.
Yeah, that's good. So I've been we've been stoked about that. And then watch some more SEAL Team, which was CBS, but it's now moved to Paramount Plus.
It moved to Paramount Plus?
Yeah, so they're no longer – I guess it kind of got canceled without getting canceled, so it's no longer going to be on regular TV.
Okay.
It's going to be on streaming
service. Are you going to get it?
Man, I was able to watch one more episode, but
– Yeah, you had said that last time. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got one more out. I don't know how. It was on the CBS app. So I went to the CBS app and I was like, let me see if I can see it there. And so there was one more episode on CBS that I was able to watch, but now everything's on Paramount Plus. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do.
We got to figure it out. So I'm going to predict what you're going to do.
Tell me.
You're going to get Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And the reason you're going to do it is you like SEAL Team 6.
Yeah.
But there's also a Yellowstone prequel show called 1883.
Yeah, with Tim McGraw.
And you're going to want to get that. So you're going to say, hey, what's with, you know, no big deal, $5. And there's already two shows I want to watch on there.
Yeah, that's true. So is that, is 1883 only going to be on Paramount Plus?
1883, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was coming on TV.
Yeah, so when your wife gets mad that you have another bill, send her my way because she'll be mad at me for.
Yeah, I'll tell her. Tell her,
JD. Because we're going to get it also.
Do they do any, like, free free trials? Maybe I have to create some fake Yahoo accounts or something.
For every episode. We decided, though, we're going to cancel something to get it.
To get Paramount Plus?
So what? Yeah, so what's going to be on the chopping block is either Apple TV, which we're paying for now.
Yeah.
Peacock. Or I think that's it. One of those two is going to have to go.
Where are you leaning? Are you leaning one way versus the other?
Probably Apple TV until Ted Lasso comes back.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I can just bounce around like that.
You definitely got your money worth on Apple TV because you there were a couple of weeks where it like led.
Oh, I was watching everything. Yeah, and the funny thing is, we weren't even paying for it at the time because of my wife. My wife had an Apple phone that they gave it to us for free, but that ran out, so we're starting to pay. So that'll probably be on the chopping block because there's nothing. Because you're right, there was a bunch of shows I was watching on there, and I think the only reason we're paying is because my wife's watching some show with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, is that about news or like the morning?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So she's watching that.
Does she like it?
She does. And I think once she finishes it, we'll get Paramount Plus and start the 1883. Which hasn't started yet, so nobody jump on. Don't buy it yet. So
just wait a little bit. Yeah, I was gonna ask, is it already on?
It starts mid-December. I'm curious if they're gonna release one a week, or if they're gonna. I think everyone's going towards one a week.
Well, that kind of sucks.
So I think because they know what we're gonna do. We're gonna just pay for a month, binge it, and then cancel.
You know, you're right.
Yeah, they're on to us now.
Yeah, they know the cheat code. Someone told them the cheat code. So other than that, what else? I try to watch, you know, we watch a ton of sports in my house. So I try to, a pro tip, watch some TV with your wife every once in a while, even if you don't really like it.
Yes.
You may get hooked. You may watch it. So we have some guilty pleasures of watching some Bravo TV reality TV shows. And so one of our favorites is called Below Deck, which they basically, they're on like a mega yacht and you know, the same stewards, same people that clean and work the boat. They kind of follow them and different guests they have on every couple of days. So, been spending some time watching that with the missus.
All right. Good job.
Yeah, man. What about you, JD? What's on the docket?
So, I watched this thing called The Radical Story of Patty Hearst.
Oh, okay.
It's on CNN On Demand. So, check your – I have it on Hulu, but whatever cable company you have, you should have it. Or HBO Max has most of the CNN shows. Do you know anything about Patty Hearst?
No.
Oh,
I mean, if you remind me of the story, okay. But the name does not ring a bell.
So she was an heiress, late 60s, early 70s. Uh-huh. Kind of like a Paris Hilton type. I think her family were newspaper tycoons.
Okay.
She moves to Cal Berkeley to go to college. And this is the time of the late 60s, early 70s, where there's all these radical groups, right? Protesting, you know, Black Panthers, all these things. Well, also, there was these Cal Berkeley was like the center of that whole protest movement. Yeah, San Francisco, Berkeley, all that.
Yeah.
This dude breaks out of prison. He goes to Cal Berkeley because he knows that's where people will befriend him. He creates this, like, I don't know if you want to call it a terrorist group or a protest group, and they're very unorganized, but they decide let's kidnap Patty Hearst and put her, you know, and get her for ransom.
Oh, man.
So they do it.
Oh, wow.
And I will say this, the ransom they get, they do good things with the ransom.
They get money?
They tell the family to feed the poor.
Whoa, that's kind of interesting.
Now, So do you not know anything about Patty Hearst?
No, I don't. Even telling me that, I have no idea.
Okay, so any of our older listeners will probably know more. She ends up going from captive to being one of them.
What?
And she robs banks with them. And she sends out video or cassette tapes telling her parents she's disowning them. She's going to join this terror or this radical group. It's a 6-part series and it's bonkers.
Huh.
So most people remember that she got kidnapped and then she robbed a bank. And then that's kind of where most people forget the story. Because I even remember seeing it like on documentaries about the 70s, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The whole story, I believe it's 6 episodes. It's crazy. They do way more things criminally. She does way more. When they get caught, she tries to pretend she's, you know, a victim. Like, it's a crazy story. And the crazy thing is they interview most of the people involved.
Oh, wow.
So most of those radicals, I don't want to tell you what happens to them, but you get to interview quite a few of them.
They're leading the country.
And she's done a lot of press in her life. So there's a lot of, like, a Larry King interview, you know, Good Morning America, you know, stuff like that. There's been movies made about her life. So you get a lot of first count stories about this on the show. It's great. It is great. And it's called The Radical Story of Patty Hearst. It was a CNN original. So I really think HBO Max will have it. If not, I know CNN On Demand does, so check that out. I was really into – I didn't watch a lot of shows. I watched more just short series documentaries. Have you heard of the documentary The Way Down?
Nuh-uh.
It's on HBO Max. It's about this lady who starts a diet program in the 90s, but it's based on God. So she's like, you're not hungry. Pray away the hunger. And God wants everybody to be skinny. She turns it into a mega church in Nashville.
Oh my gosh.
And it turns into like a cult. So this show, I think it's 4 episodes on HBO Max. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. And this is all recent. Like, so just so you know, most of what happens is the last couple of years. And the church still exists.
Is she still running it?
I don't want to tell you what happens to these people. If you follow the news, some people might already know what happens to them. I don't remember this at all in the news. It's a crazy story. Oh, there's even a guy that wants to be a country singer that joins the church. And it's bonkers.
Are you plotting, like, trying to get ideas on how to create a...
A church?
A cult. Yeah, a cult.
No, I don't have the patience. I'm just trying to get people to listen to this podcast, Miles.
That's what it's going to be about.
I don't have the patience to, like, create a religion around it.
Listen, if you're listening right now, God wants you to listen to this
first. I'll tell you this. If you're listening now, God wants you to subscribe.
Yeah, like.
Like, go on all our social media pages, all that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to. And then the last thing I watched, it's called Enemy of the State. This is on Hulu. This is about a hacker, or he worked for the government, and apparently he found some stuff within the government and had it on a hard drive.
Is that like the Will Smith movie?
It was, but no, this is a documentary. And this was on Hulu. And the parents are trying to hide him or fight for him. They think he's being railroaded because he knows too much about the government. But the government says they found some child pornography on his computer. You don't know who to believe, right? I think that's 2 episodes or 3 episodes. That's another crazy story, too. So I've been knee-deep in these crazy-ass stories. If I'm not watching sports, if I'm not watching San Antonio FC, UTSA, Spurs, Cowboys... Longhorns, I'm knee deep in this crazy stuff. I need to stop. But yeah, I've been go looking for more crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. That's what I watched. But before we go,
easy enough.
we promised the world that we were going to hear. Usually we review a local restaurant or beer or somewhere to go here in town. And I do have one, and we'll save it for next time. But what we want to know, and maybe some other people are going to go to a Cowboy game or, you know, drive up north for the holidays or whatever. Mouse, I want to know what you ate on your way to Dallas and around Dallas.
Yeah. So, you know, usually on vacation, you tend to eat a lot, come back like, oh, man, why did I eat that? You gotta binge a little bit or purge a little bit when you get back. So going up, I took your advice. You know, Buc-ee's is always a must stop anytime we pass it with my little girl. She loves it. Love the snacks and stuff you can get there. But I've never had the breakfast. I've had sausage or, you know, brisket sandwiches if you need something quick. But you sold me on the idea of how good their breakfast sandwiches are.
Uh-huh.
And it lived up to the hype.
Did it really? Yes. It was
delicious.
Yes.
They were so delicious. I told my wife, I was like, because we're maybe like 15, 20 minutes from the Buc-ee's in New Braunfels. And I'm like, I think we may just go to like Buc-ee's in New Braunfels like on a Saturday morning to get breakfast out, to get breakfast sandwiches. Because, man, and I no, I guess I will say this. Don't get the tacos. I tried a beast burrito, which was like potato, egg, cheese, bacon, maybe sausage. It was like a combination of a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
And it was good. But the thing they get are those either the breakfast sandwich biscuit or the croissant.
Yep.
And whether you do egg and cheese and bacon or egg and cheese and ham, I think they have a couple of different ones. Man, the croissant was delicious. I was snagging bites of my wife's, and she was getting mad at me because I kept wanting to take bites of hers. And it was the last minute decision to switch from the croissant to the burrito, but I wanted to try a few different things. So definitely worth a stop on the way up. The biscuit or the croissant is the way to go. So we did that, right? That's definitely we didn't stop at Chex. We didn't do the kolaches, right? Is that what they do there?
Yeah, kolaches.
Yeah, we didn't do that. At the game, we ate just some. I was so pissed off, like I wasn't even in the mood. After, you know, it got out of hand pretty fast. So we didn't do a bunch of eating. I was kind of angry. Just did some nachos. But on the way back, I'm giving everybody two pro tips today, right?
The first one was, all right. Do it, baby.
Watch some TV with your wife. The second is you can sell your wife or significant other on the idea of going to a Cowboys game. And on the way home, just surprise her and stop at Magnolia, Silos, and Waco. That's the Chip and Joanna Gaines spot.
Yes.
Girls love that place. We took my mother-in-law with us to watch my little girl, and she's never been there. She was stoked to go. So that kind of – on the way home on Monday, we stopped by there. And we've been there a couple of times. The last time, again, COVID kind of threw everything off, so I don't think we've been in maybe 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And it's grown so much more. There were some food trucks there last time.
Uh-huh.
But this time there was – so many more food trucks, and the place has like doubled in size. So
really,
yeah, it's nice. So we had we did lunch there on Monday, and a couple of the food trucks that we ate at tried a bunch of different things. They had one called the Dog House,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of hot dogs, bratwurst, and sausages. Did like a chili and cheese hot dog wrapped in bacon. It was delicious. You can't go wrong with that. I did a burger from a food truck there called Whiz Bang's Hamburgers.
Okay.
Apparently it's big in Waco. They have a brick and mortar store too. I think it says like the sign on the door says a Waco legend since 1977.
Oh, okay.
So they got a couple of locations in Waco, but they have this food truck there at the Magnolia Silos. And I had a cheeseburger there with, from them. And that was delicious. And something that was probably the best food of the trip. There's a food truck called Club Sandwich. I didn't get into it. I don't know why it's called a club sandwich, because they don't serve sandwiches. It's rice bowls. And so I should have asked the guy. I have no idea why it's called that, but it's Asian food, American style is kind of their slogan. And they had a rice bowl with like chicken teriyaki and some rice, maybe like some jasmine rice under it. And that stuff was delicious. So you can't go wrong. I mean, anything I've had there has been delicious. I usually, on the way out, when we leave there, there's another food truck called, or maybe it might be a trailer, called the Alabama Sweet Tea Company. Okay. Which all they sell is sweet tea. I'm a big sweet tea guy, and they have different types. And so I think it's maybe like $8 or $10, but it comes with a cool little mason jar that you get to keep. And the sweet tea there is amazing.
Dang, you did it big in Waco, man.
Yeah, man. I had to do it for the fans. I know God was telling me to have everybody listen. And,
so. If we're going to start a cult, it's got to be based on food.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll eat it and you'll stay skinny. That's
my mantra. Man, those are a lot of good suggestions.
Yeah, yeah. So we tried to try a bunch of different things. So
look at you, man.
Bucky's on the way up. Get your breakfast. And on the way back, make your significant other happy. Stop at Waco. Magnolia Salads in Waco and try a bunch of food trucks.
That's a good little weekend. I will say this too. One day I did take my wife there 2 or 3 years ago, and on our way out, we stopped at Gold's Coffee, which is one of our favorites here in San Antonio. It's one of our first reviews. And if you want to look at any of our reviews, go to our Instagram page at Spurs and Salsa. You'll find tons of stuff to eat, drink, whatever. The barista there, the owner, he told me about a coffee shop in Waco, and we did go there, and it was amazing. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but again, if you go to our Instagram page, it is on there. So you did convince me to go back, not only to try all the new food, but yeah. you said it's grown in the last 2 years, so I definitely need to try that.
It was huge. You know, last time we went, it was kind of like, you know, there's like one big store and you kind of fizzle out pretty quick. But they have a really neat wiffle ball, like a full wiffle ball. I don't want to say a stadium, but a field.
Okay.
Like dugouts, kids are playing.
Dang.
A ton of, you know, turf for the kids to play, you know.
Okay.
Like washers and all sorts of stuff. So it's a neat one.
All right. So look at Spurs and Salsa. We're expanding the state. We'll give you the. We're going to start hitting up the best spots in Texas too. So, all right. Well, you convinced me to start a cult and to go to Waco, which I guess kind of go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, sure.
Little David Koresh action going on in our podcast.
Full circle.
There you go. We'll end it on that positive note. But until we probably won't record next week because of Thanksgiving, but we'll. We'll definitely talk about Thanksgiving. We'll have two Cowboy games to talk about. We'll have the end of UTSA's regular season to talk about. And a lot more Spurs. So until then, go Spurs go and meet.